This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Thursday, September 6th, 2007. I'm Caleb Brown. Government failure in Peru demands private solutions. So says Ian Vasquez, the director of the Cato Institute's Center for Global Liberty and Prosperity. The private sector brings Peruvians electricity, telephone service, and internet access. The public sector's responsibilities, water and education, have been long-standing demonstrable failures. Vasquez says even poor Peruvian families are now sending their children to for-profit private schools. You say that the water monopoly in Peru loses 40% of its water through leaky pipes and other losses. As a business person, if you lost 40% of your inventory on a regular basis, you would be out of business pretty quickly. How is that kind of inefficiency sustainable when you have people without adequate water and sewage service for more than a decade, both politically and just practically?
Well, of course, economically, it's not sustainable. And so the government loses money, and there aren't actual incentives politically for the government to actually meet the needs of the people. And one of the reasons is that the water monopoly in Lima, Peru, is controlled very tightly by the labor union in the water sector. And so any calls for changes there are met with stiff political resistance. It's the old story of concentrated benefits and diffused costs. So this is a problem with a lot of public sector services in Peru and in much of the developing world. Inefficiencies and the lack of feedback mechanisms that exist in the market. So what they've done in this case is essentially take a service out of the market and put it into the public sector. And because Peru has such a dysfunctional government, the services that follow are terrible and don't compare to those that exist in rich countries.
And speaking of rich countries, the United States has water monopolies in many of its cities. Economists suggest in some ways Americans are actually underpaying for the water that they receive through government-owned pipes. What is the essential difference?
That's probably true. In both cases, the government is not probably providing an efficient service. The big difference is that we, by and large, in the United States, have a market economy with the rule of law. And so by comparison, government services in the United States are a model of efficiency, of course, compared to developing countries. And that's what's lacking in much of the developing world. There isn't that rule of law. Instead, what you have are large governments doing all sorts of things that they shouldn't be doing, and they're not doing the things that they should be doing right. The problem in Peru is that the government is very large. It spends over 20% of GDP. At that level of income, that's huge government, and it really inhibits economic growth.
How have Peruvians responded to the issues of water?
Well, I was surprised to discover on a visit to Peru a couple of years ago that in the very poorest parts of Lima, in the shanty towns, people who had been requesting for decades water service from the public monopoly got fed up with having their requests ignored, and they began protesting in marches on government offices for the privatization of the water monopoly. They wanted private water to come to their neighborhoods, and they recognized that everything else that was privately provided, from telephones to electricity to cable television, even internet, actually was available in their neighborhoods. They had internet, but they didn't have water. And so their insight was that if they had privatized water, they would be getting a good service, and they would be paying a lot less for it, because currently they're paying prices on the black market, where they bring in water on tanker trucks, which are unsanitary, that cost them 10 to 15 times the price that is charged in the regular network of piped water. So privatization, especially for the poorest people in Lima, would result in a dramatic drop in prices as well.
Peruvian public education, according to at least one estimate, has left half of 15-year-olds without any basic reading skills. In a recent op-ed, you talked about how Peruvians have responded to that.
Peruvians are also fed up with the state education system, which is a tremendous failure. Again, there is a teachers' union that is communist-led, which has obstructed any efforts at reform of the system. And so those who have money, the rich, send their kids to private schools. But what is less recognized and less documented is that in the poorest parts of Peru, in the shanty towns around Lima, for example, I was able to observe that poor parents are sending their kids to private for-profit schools in those neighborhoods. And so there is a mushrooming of private schools for the poor, just as James Tooley, the professor from University of Newcastle, has documented has been the case in the poorest areas of Africa and Asia. This has not been well documented in Latin America yet, but clearly this phenomenon is going on there as well.
Do you have any reports on how effective that education is?
James Tooley's research in those countries where he's studied, Kenya, Ghana, Nigeria, and India, show that the private schools actually outperform the public schools on almost every measure, including teacher attendance, and that the students who go to the private schools also outperform the students that go to the public schools, notably better.
How do these poor parents in Peru, how are they able to afford that type of education?
Well, it turns out, and I have a lot of anecdotal evidence for this, and this is another reason why this needs to be documented. It turns out that poor parents know the value of education and will sacrifice in order to educate their kids. They understand that a better education is one of the best ways to get ahead in life. And so the fees aren't tremendously large from our point of view, but they are significant parts of their salaries. And many people, if they need to, forego a meal or two in order to educate their kids. Others, according to the studies that James Tooley has done in those other countries, actually get their children's education partially subsidized by other people who pay for the tuition at the school, so that the poorest of the poor either go, in many cases, without paying, or their fees are reduced and they're subsidized by the fees of the others. The poor are subsidizing the poorest in those cases.
Ian Vasquez is the director of the Cato Institute's Center for Global Liberty and Prosperity. This is the Cato Daily Podcast. Please consider supporting the work of the Cato Institute with a donation at our website, cato.org.